Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 11th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Dr. Catherine Allen. Catherine and her husband Lee have been members of Mountain Brook Baptist for many years, and after she reads, I look forward to discussing life and faith and ministry with her. Thank you, Catherine, for joining us today.
The first reading is from the 23rd chapter of Luke, starting with the 44th verse. The topic of this is the death of Jesus on the cross. Verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and a just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. The second reading today is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, Seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now we come to the 27th chapter of Job. Job continued his discourse and said, "As God lives, who has taken away my justice, and the Almighty, who has made my soul bitter, as long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. May my enemy be like the wicked, and he who rises up against me like the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he may gain much, if God takes away his life? Will God hear his cry when his trouble comes on him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on God? I will teach you about the hand of God. What is with the Almighty I will not conceal. Surely all of you have seen it. Why then do you behave with complete nonsense? This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors received from the Almighty. If his children are multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those who survive him shall be buried in death, and their widows shall not weep. Though he heaps up silver like dust and piles up clothing like clay, he may pile it up, but the just will wear it, and the innocent will divide the silver. He builds his house like a moth, like a booth which the watchman makes. The rich man will lie down, but not be gathered up. He opens his eyes, and he is no more. Terrors overtake him like a flood. A tempest steals him away in the night. The east wind carries him away, and he is gone. It sweeps him out of his place. It hurls against him and does not spare. He flees desperately from its power. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place."
Thank you so much, Miss Catherine, for joining the podcast today. We are so grateful for your reading and for your ministry here at Mountain Brook Baptist. First, I just want to know a little bit about you and your family. Tell us about who you are.
I have been a member at Mountain Brook Baptist Church since about 1976, except for a period when my husband and daughter and I went away to start Meadowbrook Baptist Church south of here, a daughter of Mountain Brook Baptist Church, and then we returned about 1984. And it's been a great blessing to me to be rooted in this fine church that has a global vision and is supportive of all of its members who seek to minister in the name of Christ. I grew up in Birmingham, went to Howard College, as it was then called, Samford University, and there a young professor came to teach in 1961, and I did not hesitate to spot him as my future husband. God provided him, and I didn't quite know at the time how being married would blend with my call of God to serve in missions, not as a missionary, but as a missionary journalist. So we talked this through, and we did get married in 1963. He has been a wonderful partner to me in worldwide ministry, and I've tried to be a partner to him in the academic world. As he became dean of the Howard College of Arts and Sciences at Samford and dean of graduate studies. God sent us two perfect children. What can I say? They're so wonderful. One is a medical doctor, and one is has been a missionary, but became involved in the food service business in Nashville. And we have two granddaughters who are members of Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And we are thankful for the ministry of the church to our entire family. It has been a blessing to be here.
You mentioned the word call and your call to ministry, to missionary journalism. Tell us a little bit more about how you felt God calling you to be a part of his work.
My growing up church emphasized the call of God to all believers. Our church had many, many young people and students from the university present, and so naturally they were all seeking to know, what would God have me do with my life? And so the church sought to provide answers to that question to help people find the way. And I was one of the very quiet, meek, non-promising candidates who tuned in and listened to all that and came to believe very young that God had a plan for my life. It would be the best plan for me, and the best thing I could do would be to seek it and to follow it. Part of the call was to hear the voice of God through humans, through reading, study, reading the Bible. The daily podcast would be a really good example in modern times of learning what God's Word said on the subject. But then to match that with the abilities that God had placed in me. And it was pretty clear that I was more gifted with words than with numbers, and that I could write. I exercised every opportunity to practice journalism through high school and college. And so it seemed pretty clear. One day when I was about 16 years old, 17 perhaps, sitting in the living room of the leader of my missions group with a whole bunch of other girls there, she handed out the literature that we were to study for the coming month, and I noticed that it was published in Birmingham, Alabama. And I thought, well, my goodness, look, here is a Christian publisher right here publishing about missions. Maybe I can just go to work for them. And so this was a thought that I had, and I did act on it. I called and applied for a summer job there, and they just laughed at me because I had no visible qualification. But it was only about 3 years later that the boss called me and said, we have this opening, and would you consider coming to work for us? And that is how it started for me.
Tell me, which is your favorite book that you have written and why?
I love biography, studying the workings of God in people's lives. And WMU kept me amused by letting me write some missionary biographies and other books pertaining to God's calling in people's lives. While business was going on, I was burning the midnight oil, doing research for these biographies. And that greatly interested me and blessed my life, and I think that those books have blessed the lives of others. The first one was the biography of Lottie Moon called The New Lottie Moon Story. Even now, people continue to read this book. I think it was published in 1979. And this led to my husband and me going to China several times. We involved Mountain Brook Baptist Church in an expanding outreach and ministry into China. So it proved to be not just a matter of writing old history, but living biography that continues to bear fruit in an especially challenging environment. And the second book that I would mention, I co-wrote with my husband, which is a great pleasure, and that's the biography of Ida V. Moffitt, for whom the Samford University School of Nursing was named. And, oh my goodness, we came to be personally acquainted with her when she was about 83 years old, and we adopted her into our family, and she took us on. And I'm telling you, knowing Ida V. Moffitt is something that is quite transformative. It's close to being hit by a truck. I mean, she's such an overwhelming personality, but to be impacted for the very highest and best purposes in life, to become more caring and compassionate in whatever your business or calling in life might be, to let it be ruled by compassion and willingness to suffer for the good of others. This was the way she had lived and the way she transformed the healthcare industry in Alabama and beyond, because she was a national figure in nursing and hospital administration, but also in our family. And it was such a wonderful thing for our children to come to maturity under the kind and firm hand of Ida V. Moffitt. I'm telling you, she is really something, and we miss her every day.
I've heard that you know much of the Baptist hymnal. I want to know that story of how you came to learn all of these hymns.
Well, I have sat through many, many, many church services in my life. I'm really sorry for people who think they don't need a hymnal in church nowadays. I hear that there are such people, but I would have lost my mind if I had not had a hymnal that I could pick up and read during the boring parts. Okay, I confess, boring because I didn't have the mentality and the spiritual development to appreciate every golden word that fell out of the pulpit. So I read the hymnal and got into singing in the choir quite young and continued to learn. So when our first child was born, I was not real sure about how to raise this little infant who from get-go was obviously a very smart little thing. And so I set up a station for nursing him or giving him his bottle and rocking him, and had a little book stand where I could set up an open hymnal there and turn the pages. And so I started on page one, Holy, 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 and sang the hymnal to him straight through. I'm very happy to say that he knows all those hymns too. He's just automatically picked up on it, and he's got all four verses. I'm not sure I know all the verses of every modern hymn, but it's a good thing to do, and in a pinch, it's good to have that to rely on.
I would like to hear a story about mission service. It can be anything, especially maybe something that happened while on a mission trip with Mountain Brook Baptist.
Our church sponsored the start of a new idea for women to be involved in missions, and one of the projects undertaken jointly by this group of women and by our church involved going to Banjara Gypsy women in India. The Banjara Gypsy women loved to dance. They were dancing people. Whatever happened, they would express it through dance. It was so dazzling. You cannot imagine how beautiful and exciting and energetic they are in their dancing. So we decided to put the Apostles' Creed into dance. I got a newspaper and a magic marker. I never travel without a magic marker because you never know what you're going to need. It was a poster size magic marker. We got different people to work with us to come up with a translation into their languages. We made several giant posters on newspaper giving the words to the Apostles' Creed. So they quickly learned to recite it in their various languages and then to dance it, to interpret it in a physical way. It was a very exciting thing. Ever since then, I decided that a good starting point for any mission work with people who are just learning the gospel would be the Apostles' Creed, because it's memorable and it summarizes everything you really need to know. So let's just cut to that.
You have such a wealth of knowledge about missions. I'm wondering what a prayer you would have for our church as it relates to missions.
My prayer continuously is that all of us, especially young people as they develop, will hear God's call and be tuned in to the needs of the world. One of the great leaders of WMU in the past, as she was on her deathbed, said, "Endeavor to see the needs of the world from God's standpoint." So whatever we do at Mountain Brook Baptist Church should lift the vision of people to see the needs of the world as God sees it. Then we will rise above our own circumstances, be they pleasant or unpleasant, whatever. Even as our scripture today has shown us, we can have triumph through God, through His Spirit, by faithfully following, as Job did, and refusing to be derailed from it, as the psalmist David did. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So let us learn through scripture and through the newspaper what the needs of the world are and then say, what is God calling me to do about this? Our church is wonderful in supporting people who take that first step to say, what can I do?
Would you end our time together with prayer?
Let us be faithful, dear God, as the women from Galilee were, and Joseph of Arimathea was, clustered around the cross. Let us see where you are, where your body is laid, from which you are resurrected into our lives today. Let us see this, and let us be faithful to act accordingly. Let us trust you for your light and your might as we step forward. And like Job, may we never turn aside from our commitment to following your calling as it varies through all of our lifespan, from youth to age. Bless Mountain Brook Baptist Church, its ministers, and its people, every person from the nursery to the baptistry to the Lord's Supper table to the senior citizens. Guide us each one to do what we could and should do in your power and your leadership. In Jesus' name, amen.